You are welcome to the podcast of Dominion Chapel International, the special place. We are a church that believes in pure worship, unadulterated word and family. Be enlightened as you listen to this message.
In this month and then the months to come, we are putting in the circle. And by the grace of God, the bishop began to lay some foundation. And this morning, we'll just be looking at it. And I remember when my brother and I were talking, and then he said, oh, so that we'll learn. Very simple. So that has been my prayer, that it will be very, very simple and you can follow. And if at any point it gets to a part that is becoming quite confusing, you can just give me a sign or something like that, and then we'll be able to bring it back. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we're looking at soul winning. Our goal and our target this morning is that you will learn soul winning in a very simple way, not a difficult way, that at least whichever level you are, you will be able to reach out to somebody without a struggle. When we first got born again, we had a manual. And so we said, oh, this is how you start. So you start by somebody will do opening prayer, and then the next person, you start from Genesis. So we had a structure like that. So you move from here to there, to there, to there, and then when you finish. So we had certain scriptures, they had to come in. You understand? So we quote scriptures, which is all good. All right? Which is all good. And it has positive effects. There are good results that you get from that one. But that's also, sometimes that's also one of the reasons why it is so difficult for some of us to win souls. And we think of, like they said, the next 2 months is for soul winning. We yem crampo ashew that I just am crying. So on Besha says Sunday, almost yeah, call out, yeah, call evangelism, and me cry there. Because it's very difficult for you. And I want you to know, if you feel like that, it is quite normal. I used to follow some brethren to evangelism. That was my first experience. And we would always go like that. And then one day, whilst we were on the way, if they had told me before, I wouldn't have followed them. Whilst we were on the way, one of them said that, oh, brother, next place near Bekono, one of them bought Empire and Sana. Yeah, preachy. So I was to pray before they preach. If I could get back, I would have. All right? So if you feel like that, it's quite understandable. It's quite understandable. And so what we are trying to do is we're trying to make it quite simple. All right? How soul winning and evangelism is. So that in this month, you could practicalize the word of God. All right? Okay. So, as I look through that, some of you, even when I see from your face, I can see that you've gone through some bad boy faces before. And if you are of my generation, there was something that they used to do. Say, oh, yeko mape. You can say yeko mape. Do you know what yeko mape means in Greek? So yeko mape means that we are going to look for girls. All right? And so you see the boys, they'll dress, whatever, and then they will hit the streets, mostly to be small town, and then there will be a street, you know, with some lights. And then they will just get on the street, and then, so they're walking, okay? And when they see girls, they will call a girl, and then talk to the girl, and then they go their way or something. So they kept doing like that. And this was something that was quite common. I don't know about now that there are a lot of phones, and all right? And as they went to the mape, if they were very truthful, they would tell you, only few times will them, like an individual, be able to meet a girl on the street, bring the girl to the house that day. It almost never happens. Almost never happens. And so they understand when they go out that they're going to start something many times. They understand that they're going to start something. Okay? They're going to get a number. They're going to get a name. They're going to get a house. They're going to get some direction. They're going to establish some kind of familiarity. Okay? So they have words. They have names. You know, how they use it. So they have those kind of things, okay? So they do understand that whatever they are doing is not a one-day thing. If you have ever gone out to market something, to sell something, you should understand this. When you're going to sell a product, it's not always straightforward that the customer you meet, the customer is going to buy your product, particularly if your product is not so known, all right? So what do? You start by establishing you know, a rapport. And then many times, you don't need a person to buy immediately. You don't need a person to buy immediately. In fact, some of them who are very good can even give you some of the products for free. Oh, don't worry, they will get it back. They'll get their money back. Right? So they give you some of the products. So they give you maybe, they give you some coffee, they give you some something, maybe some medicine or something. They can give you for free. They dash you. And then you go and then, oh, try it. Okay? And after you try it, after some time, all right, yourself, you start looking for them. Okay? So that's how a good product is sold. It's never, and when you do marketing, very few times that you will have people seated together and now you are going through your PowerPoint slides. No, it will not happen like that. And so, how do we evangelize? Evangelism is marketing. Evangelism is influence. It is a showing. It is the extension of influence. So we're trying to influence another individual for our Lord Jesus Christ. And so how do we do that? Then we have to look at how our Lord Jesus himself, how he evangelized. Jesus was an evangelist. You know, the word evangelism coming from evangelion, translated as good news or evangelism, whatever. But it's more like this. In older Greek times, so you see, there are several Greek times. The generation of Homer was not the same generation as Jesus. Socrates' generation was older, later. So there are the classical period. There are different periods in the Greek history. And even their language reflect that. So sometimes the language that we use, a word that we use during the Koine time is the time that the New Testament was written, okay? That was the time that the language had become the common dialect, all right? So the language that we use, maybe the word that we use during the Koine period, is not the same language that was used during Homer. So sometimes when you're reading Homer, you meet a certain concept, you meet a certain word, and the word is different from how it is applied in the New Testament. And you have to be conscious about how the word progresses over time. And then sometimes too, those in the Koine period to describe a certain concept, a certain idea, they would go back to the classical period and use a certain word. They would borrow the word, even though that word is no longer spoken. They borrow it to bring out the exact meaning of what they were trying to say. And so we always bear that one in mind when we are reading the Greek New Testament. And of course, in any other language. And so I want us to look at how it was, because evangelism as it is, evangelion, so it was like this. When people went to a city, a town, to go and then propel an ideology or to announce something, there's a new product, they will stand somewhere and then they will just shout, evangeliu, 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 all right, evangeliu, all right. So that is the word that is later translated as evangelism or an evangelist. So the person who stands and make that noise, evangeliu, evangeliu, is the person that is called evangelist. So he's trying to get people's attention. And so if you want to bring it in the African setting, you see that when we're living in more traditional communities, you see that they will have a gong beater or something or someone, and the person come, go 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 go, me man fwe, me man fwe, me man fwe, na na se, and ne ebo uku ebo non swa, ye yina ye be shewa himfie, hey, asana makane ni epa, go. So they will just hit it like that, and then they will go, okay. So that's the same thing. They do that to get your attention. It's like sometimes when they're going to do vaccinations and all of that, so they will have a car coming to an area, and then they'll start by playing their music, okay? COVID-19, so they'll just sing it, and then to get your attention. So, you know, talking, something is coming up, all right? So now you stand, and then you listen. Okay, what are they trying to say? So they don't just give the announcement. They do something to make sure that they get your attention. And that is where evangelism came from. And Jesus and his ministry was a typical example of that. And they did that with a lot of people. They reached out to a lot of people. And one of the reasons why the apostles liked cities was because of that. Because so that they could easily gather people. But there were moments where Jesus did personal evangelism, he reached out to certain individuals directly. And I want us to look at two instances, by the grace of God, two instances very quickly, and then we'll learn some few things from there. Okay, wherever we get to, we are done. Amen. So St. John's Gospel chapter 1. And I want to read to you something from the verse 43, from the verse 43 to 51. I always like to read more scriptures because I want you to get the whole thing. Okay, sometimes my interest is in some very little part, but if you don't understand where it is coming from, it will become difficult for you to conclude. And that's how people make a mess of the scriptures sometimes, you know. So from the verse 43, it says, the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael asked him, where did you come to know me? Jesus answered, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. Nathanael replied, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered, do you believe me because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I like using the New Revised Standard Version for a particular reason. So mostly what I'm reading and what they have on the screen will be slightly different. All right. So here's the story. So Jesus saw two people. Okay. So he reached out to two people. The first one, all he had to say to him was, follow me. And the guy followed. That's all. Philip just followed. Follow me. Yeah. So all the guys who ever went on a map will tell you that some of the girls, you just tell her, follow me. She will follow like a sheep to the slaughter. All right? So it's just simple. So there are some people who just tell, follow me. Because you see, people have gone through all manner of things. There are some people, they are ripe. So you see, the Bible said, so the scripture that we've been reading, it says that the harvest is ripe. Okay, it is ready. There are some people, they are over ready. Do you understand? My apostle tells me that by the time he was going to Rehad Bonkis crusade, he knew that when he was going to get born again. His heart was ready. He knew. Before going, he knew that he was going to get born. So as soon as they said, anyone who wants to be born again, he just rushed. He didn't need convincing. So there are some people, they don't need convincing. Some people, it is so simple. All you need to do is, oh, we are having special place worship night. Please come. Well, just follow. They will call you even before you get ready. They are ready. All right? That's some of the things that the Lord of the harvest does. He reads certain people. There are certain people, they are in such dire straits, but that even your good morning wins them to Christ. Okay? And so it's there. All right, so that was Philip, and it was so easy. Then Philip went to tell Nathanael. All right, and so when such people who are overripe, when they meet the Lord, okay, when they meet the Lord, they mostly are so excited that they immediately get other people involved. All right, so they had to share with other person, and then that's what Philip did. So Philip went to invite him, and he said, oh, come and see. This is the one that the prophets and Moses prophesied about. He is here. The Son of God is here. All right? So when he said that to him, this is what he said. So the English reads that can anything good come out of Nazareth? No, that's not how he reads in the Greek. In the Greek, this is how he reads. Nazareth? Can anything come out of that place? All right? How I just said it right now explains the disdain and the shock that Nathanael had. You see, Nazareth was irrelevant. So irrelevant that you don't meet Nazareth in the Old Testament. So irrelevant that you don't meet Nazareth in the work of Josephus. So irrelevant that you don't meet Nazareth in the Talmud. You don't meet Nazareth anywhere except the New Testament. So irrelevant. So when he was told that Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth, his first Nazareth, you know, Charlie, I've met a very good businessman. He's a very, very good, he's a very, very honest man. In fact, when he was at a university, he was at Commonwealth. He was their president. All right? So as soon as we hear that, all right, you can say, Commonwealth? He's a vandal. You said he's very honest. Really? That's what you use? You get the thing? It's like somebody says, I just met somebody. He's so calm. He doesn't even speak. In fact, he's so special that he's from Nima. Really? You get the thing? So that's the same thing. So he said, Nazareth, can anything good come out of that place? Nazareth, you didn't get any place? Nazareth? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So now they got to Jesus. Okay, they get to Jesus. And what did Jesus do? There is what we call capitatio benevolente. It's not Greek. Benevolente. That's Italian. That's actually Latin. All right? Okay. So, capitatio benevolente is this. I give you all the praise. It's like a preacher coming to preach at a church. And he's coming to give a very hot message. But this is how it starts. So, you guys are amazing. You are so beautiful. I like your auditorium. But he knows the message he's bringing. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. So he brings you all the praise and everything to propel you, to get you ready for the message. All right? Now, this guy denigrated Jesus. He spoke negative about him. Not that Jesus didn't know. He knew. Because he said that when you were at that place under the fig tree, I saw you. So when they were having a conversation, Jesus heard, this guy has no respect for me. Oh, maybe if it was me, I would have been like, are you the guy that was there saying nonsense? You think I didn't hear you? No, Jesus didn't do that. What did Jesus do? Jesus gave him all the praise and all the honors. Oh, brother, I love what you're wearing. Oh, sister, you look amazing. So, wow, you look like such an honest businessman. Oh, you look so smart that nobody can cheat you. You don't like nonsense. I have this product I'm selling. Hallelujah. So we're making evangelism simple. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so Jesus gave him all the praise. He gave him all the accolades. And this guy was excited. So he heard something. And we are human beings. When we hear something nice about ourselves, we say, okay, that's fine. So Jesus gave this guy a powerful compliment. And he was so full of himself that immediately he starts turning his language. In our personal evangelism, when we meet certain people, when we meet people, if it's very difficult for you, why don't you start off by saying something nice to that brother, to that sister? Look for that something. So, I like your hairstyle. I like the way you smile. Hey, what's your name? I like the way you smile. Oh, wow. Interesting. Where are you from? What's your name? Oh, your name is Mensa. I said, you don't mean it. Your name is Mensa. Hey! That's a nice name, oh. Chai. Like Mensa Otabel. Wow. Chai. That's a powerful name. So immediately you do that, that person begins to, you know, break down. So their defenses come down. Hallelujah. Praise God. Is it being simple enough? All right, good. So, Now he thinks, I hear that you are this, da da da. Then he also starts now talking differently. And Jesus said, oh, before you came, I actually saw you. And then he said, really? And Jesus said, oh, so now you believe me just because I said I saw you? Oh, don't worry. If you follow me, even greater things are going to come. It's very simple. So this is how Jesus reaches out to Nathaniel. All right, so let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. It's a story you know all too well. I will not read it, because if I want to read it, I'll end up reading it up to the verse 39. Okay? So it's a long read. But this is a story of Jesus at Samaria. Now, I want to talk to you about Samaria, and you will understand why the Samaritan story is so important. And what was done during the days of Jesus, the conflict that was there, we have done it ever since. We still do it. All right? We still do it. So Samaria, some time ago I was telling you that when the kingdom divided, the north and the south, when they divided, okay, 10 of the tribes formed one kingdom. And they were taken by the Assyrians. And I told you that the Assyrians practiced what we call the policy of assimilation, not the kind that the French did in Africa, maybe, but not the kind that the French were not as wicked as the Assyrians were at that time. Not the Assyrians of today, the Assyrians of that time. And this is what they would do. They would take people from Nima, okay? So they come to capture people from Nima. And then they would take them to Hohoi, drop them there. And take those from Hohoi, and then they will take them to Bole Bamboi. And they will take those from Bole Bamboi, and then they will bring them to Nima. All right? And then they will go and take people from Ashaiman. And then they will now go and remove those who have now been put at Hohoi. They go and put those ones there. So they kept moving people around like that. So after some time, you don't know where you are from again. It's like, that's the situation of us here in Africa. Where are we really from? Where are we really from? Honestly, where are we really from? Where are the Ashantis from? Where are the Ewes from? You know, you hear all manner of stories. They're from here, from there, from there. All manner of migration. Where do you claim that you actually belong? Okay? So that's what the Assyrians did. So after some time, a group of people started coming back, claiming to be the kingdom that was taken away. And so those who were there said, no, you are not one of us. You don't belong. And even though they tried and they did a lot of the practices, just as Moses had said and all of that, the Israelites who were there didn't accept them. And so the Samaritans had an aspiration of being fully accepted. All right? But they weren't. And when you read from some of the Talmud, for example, Rabbi Eliezer said that if you eat food cooked by a Samaritan, it is like you are eating the flesh of swine. This is to a Jew. To a Jew. If you are eating food that is cooked by a Samaritan, it is just as you are eating pork. So don't even do it. In fact, it is so bad that they even said, in one of the writings, if you read in the Talmud, they said that the daughters of Samaria, they are menstruants, even from birth, even from their cradle. He said to them, he said they are menstruant. You know what that means? They menstruate, even when they are in the cradle. Of course, it was a lie. What was it doing? They are so unclean, even from their childhood. So don't even marry one. Don't engage with one. And this was the story. This was the situation. And our Lord Jesus ends up in some of their city. And St. John, as he wrote, was so wonderful that he points to us even the exact location where Jesus was. And Jesus sent his disciples to go and get some food. And possibly maybe one or two of them wanted to go. Jesus said, no, all of you should go. Because our master knew that the woman was coming. And he was waiting for her. All right? And would you go in such a place and then you see 13 men gathered by a pool? You're going, no, you cry. When you stop taxi, and then it's like three men are already sitting. I've seen people getting down from buses because that white bus I take is only men. Shading each other. Men yam fro. So it's like that. And this woman had an encounter with Jesus and a conversation. You should read it. Okay, you should read it. The conversation was so beautiful. Immediately, so when you look at that scene, the scene reminds you of the marriage of Jacob, of Isaac, right? Good. When the servant was sent to go and then get the bride. It's the same story. It's the same story. Scholars are saying that it appears to be a parody. It's like telling that story, but with a different result. All right? When you look at the Isaac bride issue, she offered, she served, she was doing it. This one, the man even asked. And then she said, no, I'm not going to give you. Which is something that happens when we go in evangelism. All right? So people are rude. And so what? They are abrasive. And so what? So Jesus himself asked the woman. He didn't even say please. He didn't say please when reading the Greek. In fact, he didn't use any preposition, no conjunction in the Greek. Nothing. So, give me water to drink. No, give me water, drink. No two. Right? So Jesus was quite, you know, and he ordered it when a woman said, you're asking me for water? Are you not a Jew? Why are you talking to a woman? It's because, you see, Jesus was breaking a lot of laws. And we saw that later on when the disciples came back. Okay, when the disciples came back, Bible said that and John was there. He saw it and he wrote it. John wrote it. The others didn't record the story. John did. All right? St. John did. He said they marveled that he talked with a woman. He said, hey. He said, I am he. What does that one mean? He said, hey, Osofu. Look at Osofu and then this lady. At this corner, at this time. So the same thing. So Jesus talking with a woman, which was not something that he was supposed to do. In fact, you are not, as a Jewish man, you are not supposed to talk to a woman unless her husband is present. If she doesn't have a husband, there's a man who is responsible for her. So you want to talk to my sister, you want to talk to Faith, you talk to me. That's a law. Amen. So he talked to me. So I answer for her. Okay? And so now Jesus now talks to this woman and asks the woman for water. Was Jesus thirsty? No. From what he told her, he said, I don't need your water. If you know, you would ask me for water and I will give you more. What was he doing? In our evangelism, if you want to reach out, very simply, many times you pick interest in things that you might not even have interest in. You start conversations you don't really want to. You enter into conversations you don't even care about. They are talking about politics. You intentionally enter into that political talk. I was once with my apostle and some people were, casting lotto. An apostle was reaching out to them. And he started by looking at the numbers. You know, they have this paper that they work. Then they say, oh, this number. And that he started by showing that and picking numbers. By the time they realized, he was opening scriptures. Yeah. He's still friends with them to date. Okay? So now, Jesus is picking something that she's doing, something that she's interested in, something that is happening in her life. Jesus is picking that and reaching out to her. Jesus is picking that and reaching out to her. And she starts to make fun of Jesus. When Jesus said, I have water for you, it's bubbling water, living water. It will bubble from your inside. And he said, you don't even have anything to fetch with. He said, okay, give me some of your water to drink. Like, because sometimes they want to just make fun of you like that. Give me water to drink. And then Jesus said, okay, I am not supposed to give you. So this is the proper reading of it. That's why I told you all of those things. I am not supposed to give a woman a gift directly. Go and bring your husband. I will give it to him. He gives it to you. And then the woman said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you answered right. He said, because you have had five husbands. And the one that you are with, the English says, is not your husband. Now let me get to it. The two words used for husband here. Two words. The first one is andros. When you're reading it in the text, andros, because I've told you that Greek words are inflective. Okay? Mm-hmm. But the word itself in this nominative state is andros. Andros means husband. Okay? So Jesus said, go and bring your andros. She said, I don't have andros. And Jesus said, you are right, because you have had 5 androses. Okay? And the one that you are with is not your aner. That's what Jesus said. It's not your aner. What is aner? It's not your man. It's not your man. All right? So Jesus, because you see, we read a lot of exaggeration into this text. A lot of exaggeration. So she's had 5, and then she was living with another man in sin. No, the text doesn't tell us that. But what it tells us that she didn't have a cover. She didn't have a man. There is somebody, maybe a brother or something, but the person doesn't even have authority over her. She doesn't have a cover. And Jesus spoke to this woman with the respect and then the honor that you give to an individual. That's what we do when we go out on evangelism. You talk to the person with a lot of respect. Capitatio benevolente. When Jesus was talking to Nathanael, he said, look, a Jew within whom there is no deception. He uses the word dolios. All right? So, when we're discussing doulos, I was emphasizing the pronunciation. Because the words are so similar that if you don't take care, you mention a different word by mispronouncing it. All right? So doulos, which we learned some time ago, which is the word for slave. All right? But then they have dolios, which is somebody who is deceitful. And then they have dolos, means liar. All right? So Jesus said, this guy, there is no deceit in him. There is no deceit in him. No trickery. He doesn't play tricks. This guy doesn't play tricks. What an honor that Jesus confessed on this guy who had just insulted him. Jesus did that. Gave him such a compliment. And not just that, him and this woman. He paid such a beautiful compliment to this woman. He said, you are right. Jesus didn't say, No, Jesus said, you are right. Oh, thank you for telling the truth. You have been very honest. It's like some time ago, we went out on evangelism. No, not really. We went out on follow-up one evening. We used to do follow-up. In fact, we can follow you up even at 10 p.m. So, and we're coming. We got to a certain place in Kumasi. And there was this girl. She was prostituting herself. She was prostituting herself. And I saw that. And when she saw us, she thought she's getting a potential customer. So I went to her. I went to her. I started talking to her. Do you know what I did? I asked her a question. I said, what will it take for you to leave all of this behind? You know you don't have to do this anymore, right? What will it take? If you are to walk away from all of this, what will it take? What's my question? That's how I reached out to her. The next day, she packed from that place where she was living. And we gave her a place to stay at my house. Right? So sometimes it's like that. The respect and the honor, the person can read it from your voice, from the words that you are saying, how you're talking to the person. You can just get it. The person can get like feels so special. The respect and the honor that you give the person, not condemning them in their situation. Letting them know, yes, you have had a bad ride, but it's not as bad as you think. Jesus said that you have had 5 husbands and the one that you are with is not even your man. It's not even somebody who has a cover over you. Jesus didn't say, oh, you're already preparing yourself for number 6. So the compliment, the honor, the respect that we give the person, we let them see how special they are We don't even just tell them. Sometimes, you know, people can feel how much you love them more than you tell them. Right? They can feel it. And when the moment comes for you to actually show by taking a physical step closer, you let them know. You do that. And that's what Jesus did with this woman. That's what Jesus did with this woman. The Bible says that when after they spoke, this woman now rushed from that place. And then she said, I will tell everybody. I will tell everybody. She said, come and see the man that I saw. Come and see. He said, is he not the Christ? Meti hutos esteem ho Christos. Is he not the Christ? Is he not the Christ? This woman who was arguing, trying to look for theology. That's one thing that happens a lot when we go on evangelism. Well, a lot of people, you don't engage on arguments. Okay, so sometimes they bring something so that, you know, you will change what you're talking about. You understand? Okay, just when the message is starting to work. But you people, you go to church wearing shoes. And people are going to church with mini skirts. Pastor, what do you think about that? What are they trying to do? They are taking you away from something is coming to hit them. Okay? And then they are running away. It's like a child who has been abused and abused and abused. And you take that child in. Do you know what that child will do? They will test your love. They will test the limits. Because everybody that they met gave up on them. So they're going to wait. They are waiting for the time that you're also going to give up. So they look for something to run away from your love. To run away from it. No, you become disciplined. You stay focused. You stay focused. That's what Jesus did. He wasn't going to get into that theological argument. Should we worship at Jerusalem? Because the woman asked that. Or can we worship at the mountains? Why the mountains? Because, you see, they had a temple themselves. But that temple had also been broken down. They broke it down. An enemy came and then broke it down. So they didn't have a temple anymore. And so instead of going to Jerusalem, they decided to worship at the mountains. And they made a theology out of it. And she was inviting Jesus into it. Say, Pastor, you see some people, some churches, they take people's money. And what is it? They are getting you into something. That is not the focus of a discussion. Skillfully bring them back. Skillfully bring them back. That's what Jesus did. As he paid her the respect. Yeah, she has messed up. Maybe, we don't know. Maybe the five husbands she has had, maybe she was widowed. Maybe. Because in their system, for example, if you marry a woman and then the woman dies, the man dies, she still belongs to that family. So your younger brother can marry her. If that one dies, the younger one can also marry her. So it keeps on like that. So it could have been possible that maybe she's gone through stuff like that. Or maybe she was so bad that she was just, everybody just threw her away. But Jesus showed her a compliment. He said, oh, you've done five. Okay, you've done five. One lady, I was listening to an interview of one lady, and then she said that she has lived a certain life and lived it for so long and did all manner of men and all of that. And then she said, she met her husband, and now she is so happy with him and everything. And so she said one night she was just crying, what kind of life have I lived? The number of men. And then she said, I feel like I'm a whore. And her husband said, no, you're not a whore. You are just friendly. All right? So you look for something. Say, oh, you're amazing. Say, oh, you are so special. It's not as bad as you think. I know people who are worse. Even when you don't know people who are worse. All right? I know people who are worse. Oh, come on, what have you done? Our Lord Jesus is ready for you. So you stretch forth the love of God in your conversation as you put down respect and honor. Respect and honor. You become benevolent. You become benevolent, not in the way, the English way. Capitatio benevolente. All right? You give them the honor, the respect. You speak to them with love and all of that. And you see, our Lord Jesus is master soul winner. They had to make decision right there. Okay, but that's our Lord Jesus. Maybe Pastor Josh, it won't be one day. But I'm just trying to tell you that the most effective evangelism are the ones that we do with our relationships. The most effective evangelism are the ones that we do with our relationships, in our conversations. It's just a conversation. It's just a conversation. I am talking to you about something, and I'm trying to let you know that something better could come. I might not get my results today, but I'm definitely going to get my results. Oh, yeah, I don't give up. If you're a young lady or a young guy, and I set my eyes on you, that there is a certain nonsense is going to change from your life. Sometimes you hear me how I pray for certain people. Say, oh God, Sister Mary, this is nonsense. It will stop in the name of the Lord Jesus. You are arrested. Oh God, you are arrested, Sister Mary is nonsense. You are arrested. And then I see her, say, oh, Sister Mary, you are so wonderful. You're so wonderful. And maybe Sister Mary is so disrespectful. She will be disrespectful in my face. She will do it. Oh boy, there's something happening, and I'm giving you all the respect and all the honor. If you're observing me, this guy is so patient. I am not so patient. I just take it before God. Oh God, this has stupidity. This has stupidity will change. It will change, oh God. Oh God. And I'm just doing that. But when I meet you, you are so smart. You are so wise. I do that. And sometimes it takes me 6 months, sometimes 1 year, sometimes a long time. But after many years, recently there's a young lady who we used to follow up after many, many, many years. This is about 14 years later. This young lady now looks for my number and calls me. She said, Pastor, you might not remember me. This is my name. And in those days in the hostel, you used to trouble me a lot. You won't let me sleep. You always coming to call me for prayer meeting, Pastor. I said, but now, Pastor, she said, I am on fire for God. She said, I am married with my husband. Now we live in Luxembourg. Yeah. After many years, her nonsense, her stupidity changed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lift up one hand to heaven. Say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I am winning souls. Just as the master did. I am winning souls. Just as the master did. Thank you, Lord, for empowering me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. You can also enjoy our messages on Anchor, Spotify, Podcast Addict, and all other podcast platforms. Visit us at Dominion Chapel International, the special place near the XGI building, Shashi, Accra. Do remember to subscribe to this podcast to receive more life-impacting teachings by our seasoned ministers of the gospel every single week. You can also follow DCI, their special place, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Always remember that God loves you.